This is WAMC's Northeast Report. I'm Jim Lavoulis. We turn things over now to WAMC's Alan Chartok and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Hello, you're the governor. You go. Yeah, you're the governor. You go first. Okay.
Hello,
okay. Hello, governor. Okay. Well, I'm delighted that you've agreed to come on with us this afternoon, and I love when we have our little conversations, and so I want to ask you something. One, you know, I sit here and I basically shake that since I believe that the president has no bottom, that there is nothing he won't do to stay in power, and we have seen examples of that coming up. I know that you've been nervous too about it. You've said that Biden will be the president. But when you watch some of his shenanigans, the president's shenanigans, do you ever get worried?
At this point, I don't think so, Alan. You know, the law is the law, and many of the suits that the president has brought have already been dropped. I don't see any legal claim. The numbers are clear. The state-by-state numbers are clear. The overall number is clear. At this point, I don't think there's a reason to worry.
Do you think there's some signs from people like Mitch McConnell and others that maybe, just maybe, a little light is beginning to appear? I mean, I know that the Republican senators congratulated, or some Republican senators gathered to congratulate the new vice, the incoming vice president, on her victory. Do you have a sense that maybe they're getting a little bit more amenable to the idea?
Yeah, well, I have a meeting with the vice president tomorrow with Senator Harris as chairman of the National Governors Association with the executive committee. On the executive committee are Democrats and Republicans. And they're going to be participating, the Republican governors. So, you know, that's another affirmation that people understand the reality of the election.
Governor, on any level, do you think there's still something to worry about here? In other words, you're saying you think that, you know, it'll be all right. But on any level, considering the fact that, as his niece says, his sister says, this is a guy who means what he says, and we know what he's been saying, he's been elected the president. Do you think there's some kind of a mental problem here?
No. I think I am not worried factually. My guess is watching President Trump, I wouldn't be surprised that he doesn't concede, and his story, and he may very well believe it, is that the election wasn't fair, and he in fact won, and that's his story, and he's going to believe it. You know, we all have a story that lets us put our head on the pillow at night. I'm worried, frankly, more about the getting from here to the other side of the tunnel on COVID. That's the real problem that we have to deal with. You know, I get the politics, and Washington loves the politics, and the reporters love drama. But for people, for the American people, for New Yorkers, it's all about COVID.
Do you think he's killing people by doing what he's been doing all along with COVID, which is nothing?
I think what he did was he left it to the governors. I think this nation was woefully unprepared. We didn't even know it came. That's what I still can't get past. You know, why the high numbers in New York? It was coming from Europe for 3 months. We didn't even know. And then we didn't have the PPE. We didn't have tests. And frankly, that's not just at his doorstep. It goes beyond that. We had SARS, we had MERS, we had Ebola, we had dengue. The public health system should have been more sophisticated, and I want to make sure we learn that lesson now before the next one.
Yeah, but I want to know about him. And what your view, look, you've dealt with him a long time. You know the man, you've dealt with him, you've interacted with him, you've had a chance to take his pulse, basically. I haven't, but I find it very hard to believe that you're giving a way out here, that you're basically saying, you know, I mean, my sense of it is that he believes his own crap, and for want of a better word. Or doesn't he? Is he just so manipulative that for some strange reason he doesn't believe it?
Look, I think we all believe our own story, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't really be a story. I believe that he thinks he did what was appropriate with COVID, that he has his own strategy. I believe if he handled COVID better, I believe he would have won the election, or he could have won the election. You know,
I agree with you. I agree with you. Yeah, which makes you wonder if he's as smart as he thinks he is, why he didn't do that. Everybody explains this as saying, you know, it's all about the base. He was just always figuring if he appealed to the base would come out and they would vote for him and the other guys wouldn't. You think that's a good story?
Well, I think he thought the base would come out and the Democrats would hurt themselves. I think he believed the socialist Democrats would frighten people. The defund the police would frighten people. The lack of law and order would frighten people, right? Those were his themes. He was consistent. Look at these cities. They're out of control. They're all Democrats. You need law and order. They want to defund the police, and they're all socialists. That was his story. And put that together with the base. And by the way, it wasn't, you can't say, Alan, that he didn't have a good showing. You look at a lot of these state races, look at where we are now. The Democrats got a message here also, right? We didn't wipe up the table.
No. Well, now look, he's got 70 million, 72 million, something like that, votes. Biden did better. You know, that to me is very frightening because, I mean, I see such an obvious move towards totalitarianism on his part. Yet 70 million Americans or more believed in him. Is that frightening to you?
You explain it? Look at both ends of the equation. You have a lot of people who believe law and order is the top issue and who get frightened when they think you don't have law and order. You have a lot of people who, when they call 911, they want someone to show up. I think that was a big issue. And I think a lot of people responded to that issue, you know. There's a lot of issues that people don't really understand, and then there are issues that make a difference in people's lives. I think law and order makes a difference in people's lives. And those protests and the controversy with the police and defund the police, which I don't think anyone ever meant defund the police, but it was just an unfortunate expression. I think that hurt.
They may not have meant it, but they sure as hell said it. People are saying to me they didn't mean it. They didn't mean it. Well, you know, if you say it, you got to be responsible for what comes next. You think some of your fellow Democrats screwed up here by saying it? I mean, we had AOC and some of the others. Do you think they messed up?
I think defund the police was a really unfortunate expression. I don't believe anyone meant it literally, but it was such a catchphrase that it caught on, and it was so demonstrative that it caught on. And if you ask people all across the spectrum, can we have a situation with no police? They're going to say no. Someone's breaking into my house at 2 o'clock in the morning. I want to know I can dial 911.
Or as the old saying goes, call a hippie. You know, but it's not that they didn't say it. Some people did say it. And when they said it, they then said, well, we didn't really mean it. Well, at this stage of the game in politics, people have got to know what they're that when they say something, they're going to be held responsible for it. No?
Yes, 100%, 100%,
Okay.
especially in the heat of the election. I mean, this was a hot, emotional election, right? Everybody was tuned in. That's the democracy on high volume. And this was not just an expression. There were protests. There was a lot going on. And look, I believe Americans were with the public safety reform movement, especially after
Sure.
Mr. Floyd. I think we have a great opportunity for change. And they were with all the reformers, if you will, after Mr. Floyd. I think defund the police went too far.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about micro clusters in Erie County. I watch you on the television trying to explain it to some of the reporters. What is a microcluster?
What's happening is this. In the past, what we did was basically statewide action, right? We're open, we're closed. Big switch, up or down. What's happening now in the state is you have a very varied infection rate. You have a varied infection rate in the country. And I laid forth a Cuomo theory today. Why do you have such a varied infection rate? Understanding that the infection rate is purely a function of behavior. I think, Alan, theory, that the places that were not hard hit in the spring
Yep.
that didn't really appreciate the level of pain this thing could bring. Right? You have one of the highest infection rates now in South Dakota, Wyoming, Wisconsin. They were not hard hit in the spring. They were watching it on TV, but it was New York, it was New Jersey. That's somewhere else, you know? And for people, it doesn't become real until it becomes real to me. And I don't think they had the same level of fear. You look in New York now, you know where we have the worst issue is in Buffalo and Western New York. Western New York heard about it in New York City for months, but it wasn't in Western New York. And you know, when you're in Western New York City is a far way away, and it's a different environment. And I just don't think they thought it could ever happen there, to the same extent. And it is. And the people in New York City, who frankly are more aware of the fear, it's real, the fear in New York City, their infection rate is lower. We're like at 3% in New York City. Western New York, you have places 7%, 8%,
Yeah.
more than double. So the micro cluster is, let's understand the variance in the infection rate and come up with strategies that focus on that area.
And you define the area, the microcluster, as being how? I mean, is it Buffalo? Is it Niagara County? How do you make that distinction?
It is smaller than statewide. It can be as small as a neighborhood. It can be as small as
Right.
2, 3, 4 square miles. It can be half a county in the case of Erie. It could be several counties, but it's smaller than just upstate, downstate, et cetera. It's reflecting that we have more data now. You know, we test down to the block level. I can give you a map
Really?
where the cases have individual house addresses. So we can target a cluster very specifically and then zoom in on that cluster.
Basically, you're saying it is what you say it is. In other words, you know, micro can mean, you know, neighborhoods, it can mean streets, or it can mean counties. Is that right? Just
yes.
to get it straight? Okay. Now, we have, you have ways of, you wrote a book, right? You wrote a book in which, you know, New York, you gave New York fairly high marks for what it had done. I may or may not have read that book, or as your father would have said when you asked me that question, I deny it. And so I'm just sort of wondering whether the fact that, you know, that we get some credit for what was done is being somewhat mitigated now by some of the new outbreaks.
Well, the drama, do you want factual or the drama? The drama answer for the drama writers, numbers in New York State are going up. New York State had the highest infection rate, brought the numbers down low, and the numbers are now going up. That's the drama writer.
Right.
Happens to be factually true, but hyper-dramatic.
Okay.
The factual, sober writer, so to speak, the sober writer says this spike is international and national, and the whole globe is going up. Relative to the increase, New York is shockingly low. We are in the country, still surprises me, the only states with a lower infection rate are Vermont, Maine, and Hawaii. Now, Vermont and Maine, love them, but they're rural, they're less dense, Hawaii, and then it's us. We have the fourth lowest rate in the United States of America. That's amazing.
It is. It is amazing. So now you have put out some rules, and the rules say, you know, we don't want too many people congregating together. We don't want more than 10 people. And you got a sheriff. I watched him with the stars on his shoulders and all the rest, posing for the cameras and saying, I'm not going to enforce this law. Can he do that? If it's a law, can he just decide not to enforce it?
No. No. I mean, he can do whatever he wants to do. You know, he can speed, he can drunk drive, he can assault someone. But it violates his oath as a law enforcement officer, and it's very dangerous for democracy. When you hold up your hand, you say, I swear to enforce the law. An executive order is a law. You don't say, I swear to enforce the laws. I choose to enforce. And I don't like this law, so I'm not going to enforce it. That's dangerous and that's frightening. I think you violate your oath as a law enforcement officer. I think you could have legal consequences. I don't think you're
what?
A police department anymore.
Well,
or you're not.
Well, I mean, can you have him arrested?
Well, he's not violating the law, but he's not enforcing the law, which was his oath, which is fine. But then, say I'm a politician. You know, a lot of these guys run for office, right?
Right.
So politics does come into place.
You bet. And that's what he's doing, right? And I mean, he's playing to that group.
Yeah. And I'll enforce the laws that I think I should enforce. Okay. You're a politician in law enforcement. But don't say that you're a law enforcement officer first, because a law enforcement officer does not pick and choose what laws. You enforce all the laws. You don't make them. The legislature does. A governor does by executive order. Your job is to enforce it, and not the ones you like, and not the way you like. You don't let off a buddy because he's a buddy, and maybe he got caught drinking and driving, but he's a buddy, so you don't enforce that law. I once had a law enforcement officer say to me, I don't believe domestic violence. is a matter for the state. I think it's a family affair. It happens in a house between a husband and a wife. It's their business. I said to him, that may be your opinion, which I find repulsive. It's not the law. And if you can't enforce the law, then go get another job.
But come on, Governor. To some degree, we have to understand that, for example, in the enforcement of marijuana laws, there are some localities where they say, we're not going to do this anymore, or we're not going to really work hard on prostitution. So this happens. This has happened before, right?
No. They don't say, I don't think prostitution should be illegal. I think prostitution should be legal, and therefore I'm not going to enforce the law. They don't say that. They can't say that. Now, they can say as a matter of practice, it's so commonplace, I can't really enforce it. Marijuana is so prevalent, I can't really enforce it, and I'm going to bring them in, and they're just going to get a desk appearance ticket anyway, so it's a waste of my time. That's different. That's not saying I disregard the law, I won't enforce the law, I'm substituting my own opinion for the law, I'm picking and choosing laws. They're saying practically it's impossible. That's different than saying I'm going to choose the laws that I enforce. And by the way, there's political ramifications to these laws. Trump doesn't support these laws, and therefore I'm not going to support them.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but I do think that purposeful decisions have been made about enforcement of certain laws by certain law enforcement people. Now, I happen to agree with you. You're trying to save lives, and you say you got more than 10 people sitting in that house. You're going to have a problem, and somebody's going to die as a result of that. And this is what we call COVID fatigue. People just don't want to hear that. They understand what you're saying, but they don't like it. There's a problem there, right?
Yes. And by the way, it's Western New York, like South Dakota. And I think Western New York, they didn't feel it and live with it the way New York City lived with it. They didn't hear the sirens all night long. They didn't have their neighbors die. They didn't go to the funeral or not go to the funeral of their niece or nephew. You know, it's much more present in the minds of people in New York City and Long Island downstate. And it's just not as real a fear in Western New York the way it is in other parts that are going up in the country. The downside is, and I get it's human nature, but by the time you really understand it, you pay a very high price. You know,
I'm sorry for interrupting. I only have a couple of minutes left. I want to make sure I get them used efficiently. The mayor is closing down the New York City schools, I understand. And if that's the case, you and the mayor have not always agreed on this stuff. You've talked about the states. You've talked about the districts having the last word. Is the mayor off the traces here?
No. On the schools, what I've said is, it's not that we disagree. I passed a law early on that said the state law governs over all local laws. Right. So it's not a point of disagreement because the state overrides the local. What I said on schools was, I set parameters and then I leave it to the school district with the caveat that they have to consult with the parents. So there's a collective and there's buy-in. Mayor de Blasio set 3%. He hit 3% today. He closed the schools at 3%. That is totally within his prerogative.
Let me ask you a question. I have three grandchildren. They're all going to school. Should I lecture my kids or should I keep shut like I've been doing about that issue? Because it's very important to their parents that the kids go. What do you think?
Schools right now are safer than kids on the street in a high infection community. In other words, the schools often have a lower infection rate than the surrounding community. Plus, they're in school and they're learning and the parents can go to work. So my preference is always keep the schools open unless there was a high infection rate, which there's not.
So the mayor made a mistake, right?
No, he said 3%. He made an agreement with the parents months ago. They agreed collectively to 3%. And it was a dialogue, because I don't know if you remember, I mandated that the chief elected of the school district have a very participatory discussion with the parents, because I was afraid if they just set by fiat, the parents wouldn't send the kids unless they were confident. So they had to have webinars and all this stuff. In New York City, they all agreed to 3%, and he hit the 3%.
I still think it was wrong. I mean, based on what you said, that you think the schools are safer than the streets, it sounds to me like you're being somewhat contradictory in the next 3 minutes.
Well, when they set the 3% months ago, 3% sounded high.
Right.
Nobody expected it to get this high again. There's no state in the nation where it's below 2. Alan, we were at 1 like a month ago.
So he made a mistake.
When he set the 3, it sounded fine. In retrospect, it turns out that it was low in retrospect. Yes.
He made a mistake. Okay.
I don't think it was a mistake. At the time, it was reasonable and the parents agreed.
But you sound like it's not reasonable now. Am I wrong? I mean, you can't have it both ways. Sounds like it's not reasonable.
Oh, I think it could be advisable where he goes back to the parents of New York City and says, "Hey guys, we set 3%. I get it, but since then we're now testing in schools and we have less than a 1% infection rate in the schools. I think we should adjust." I think that's a bona fide conversation.
Hey, you know, journalists are getting sometimes a little lazy, and when there's nothing else to write, there's this. I'm no exception here. There's this thing about you're going into the cabinet, and I know nobody goes to the prom unless they're asked, and so you quite correctly and predictably say I'm staying where I am. But if you're asked, really asked, would you go to be Attorney General of the United States?
First of all, journalists can't get COVID fatigue, and they can't be overly dramatic. That's not their job description. Know the law, know the facts, do your job. Don't write drama, write facts. I know everybody wants clicks and whatever they call that.
Right.
Click, but it's very important people get information now because people are confused.
1 minute.
Yes. There was no, this. I didn't say if asked, not if not asked. I said, I'm serving as governor of New York and I'm not running for president, vice president, and have no desire to go to Washington.
So if asked, you will not serve.
If he comes back to you and says,
Andrew, would you please come down here? I really need you. We got to turn this Justice Department, which is a cesspool right now, around, and you're the man to do it. You would say, find somebody else.
I would say, I'm governor of New York. I got a lot of work to do in New York, and I got to deal with Alan Shartok, and he still hasn't read my book.
Who said that? I deny that.
I know you haven't read the book. Because you would
because you
so
didn't send it.
Questions.
You said you sent it, but you didn't send it. That's what happened.
Oh, I sent it. Don't do that again. I sent. I'm going to hand deliver it. I'm hand delivering it.
Good.
I don't want you to sign a receipt.
And I will. Governor, we love having you on, and we thank you so much for being here. It's always fun. And as the old saying goes, let's do it again.
We will. Thank you.